You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Quojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotney. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword, elders.
Is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Watching me. you. It is my great honor and privilege to introduce Dr. Maya Angelou to you tonight. She is a woman who speaks 6 languages, is the author of 7 autobiographies, 12 books of poetry, 6 plays, 2 screenplays, 3 spoken word albums, and multiple TV and film appearances. She is a woman whose legendary wisdom spans time and continents. Dr. Maya Angelou is a woman who embodies the essence of the classical African, ancient Egyptian creative mandate as voiced by Queen Hatshepsut, who wrote on the walls of her temple in the Valley of the Kings, "I take as my sacred mission to devote my life to restoring that which is in ruin and make it more beautiful than before." Dr. Angelou is a restorer and a transformer. She is a woman whose practice is based in the ancestral connection to the African concept of Heka, which is the evocative power of language to accomplish what one wills, as taught in the great universities of Timbuktu and Sangai and Jinnah. Dr. Angelou uses words as nets to catch and restore and renew our spirit and soul. She is a woman who stands on the shoulders and walks in the tradition of such great African storytellers and writers as Aesop, Dumas, Pushkin, Langston Hughes, and Zora Neale Hurston. She tells the story of common folks in a way that allows us to see their and our humanity. She is a person who reminds us that sunrises always follow sunsets, that human beings are verbs and not nouns, and that we're all miracles in the process of becoming. So join me in welcoming author, poet, historian, educator, actress, playwright, director, civil rights activist, producer,
Okay. Got your shea butter?
Check.
All right. How about your dashiki?
You know it, bro.
And your Hotep manual. Did you bring that?
You know what, King?
Oh, man.
It's time, so what you gonna do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. We gonna share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots. It's time, so what you gonna do?
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Kwojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotton. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com. And I repeat, Sankofa Council MKE at gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword elders.
Welcome. This is Dr. Janine James,
of the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, and we are so happy to be here with you today. Our host will be Queen Mother Shabaka of the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee and Sister Asarta Ankti. We are so happy to have them with us today for this program. And today's program will be discussing African people and European holidays. And we are so pleased to have as our guest with us today, Brother Cher Winston of Milwaukee, who is going to help us in understanding more about these holidays that are coming up, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the one that the council has been preparing for all year is Kwanzaa. And so we are very happy to get that started, our preparations as we begin to prepare, and we will be preparing every week as we get closer to Kwanzaa. But we are so happy to be here. And Sister Ankti, would you please give us our purpose?
Yes, thank you, Dr. James. It's wonderful to be here with you this evening. And the purpose of the Sankofa Council is to use African principles, unity and cooperation, to create a healing environment for our community. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I do want to take a moment to respond to some comments related to our program of last week on COVID casualties. And there have been some comments that were made to us regarding that program on COVID casualties. There were some who were wondering why the guests were referring to me as Dr. James. And I wanted to make it clear to all of our audience that the guests, as well as the casualties, are well known to me and have been patients of mine, as I am a physician. And so these are people who I knew or their family member is someone whom I've known. So we already have a wonderful relationship with one another, and they were very happy despite the unfortunate circumstances to be able to share what their experience have been, and for us to understand that COVID attacks its victims, and in turn, we want you to learn that which we hope will help to save your life and or your family member, and to understand what really is going on, maybe more than what you've probably heard elsewhere. But we wanted you to understand that really was the nature of that program. Our guests were very happy to be able to share in that experience. Okay, moving on today's program, however, we're talking about African people and European holidays. And it is a season with Halloween coming up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the one that the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee has really been looking forward to is Kwanzaa. They're just around the corner. And the Sankofa Council asked the question, what do these holidays mean for African people globally? Our guests today, lecturer, is Brother Cher Winston of Milwaukee. who has done a number of presentations on this and other African historical subjects. And we are so delighted that he was accepted the invitation to be able to talk with us so that we can learn from his research about the origins of these holidays and their significance historically for Black people. Brother Shearer, thank you for being here with us today.
Greetings, everyone. Definitely appreciate it. I give thanks to the Creator, the Manifest in Many Forms, for this opportunity to empower my spirit to help all of us awaken ourselves. And you were just speaking about the COVID. One of the things that the guiding forces recently with the pandemic dynamics going on is the empowering of our history and our culture. And my spirit and what I see it does to other people when they identify with their true nature and traditions. And as you know, and but it's not promoted enough, is that the human immune system is really the key to keeping us healthy and being in positive spirit and clear of mind is one of the main ways to empower your immune system, your defense system, to protect yourself. So I am very pleased to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for those comments that you've made. And this moves us to, before we go into our discussion, we must include our ancestral profile. And Queen Mother Shabaka has been so kind to be here to share with us today's ancestral profile. Queen Mother Shabaka.
Yes, Dr. Jane. Thank you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure. Yeah, thank you and good evening, everyone, family. Glad to be here with you all. This was a subject dear to my heart as well. And so, yes, and so I just recently found out about this ancestor that I'm going to share this evening. His name is Ishakamusa Barashonga. And so I just have a brief profile on him. Reverend Dr. Ishakamusa Barashonga, affectionately known as Baba, began his journey to Nsamando, the land of the ancestors, on January 14, 2004. He apparently succumbed to a heart attack during his morning walk. The dynamic minister, author, historian, educator, and motivational speaker was born April 27, 1938 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dr. Barashonga received his Bachelor of Arts degree in religion from Oakwood College in Huntsville, Alabama. He studied for his master's degree at Northeastern Seminary in Tacoma Park, Maryland. The New African University Network System of Washington, D.C. saluted him with an honorary doctorate of philosophy degree in 1979. Reverend Barashonga founded the Temple of the Black Messiah, School of History and Religion, and co-founded Fourth Dynasty Publishing Company of Silver Spring. He also taught history and religion at several colleges and universities. As well as lecture CDs, Dr. Barashonga was the author of several books, including European Holidays, A Mental Genocide, Book 1, African people and European holidays, a mental genocide, book two, God, the Bible, and the Black Man's Destiny, African Woman, the original guardian angel, and African Genesis, Amazing Stories of Man's Beginning. Dr. Barashango was completely dedicated to the physical, mental, and spiritual liberation of new African people. He dedicated his life to this cause. And after I found this information about him, I found that there are numerous videos on YouTube with him. There's one called European Holidays, A Mental Genocide. There's one called European Holidays, Secrets Exposed. One called African People and European Holidays, The Truth About European Holidays, The 4th of July, and Why Are We Supporting European Holidays? So those are some videos on YouTube that we could look up to hear more of what he has to say. His books are also on Amazon. So I was really fortunate to find out about Dr. Barashango, and I'm hoping that everyone else is glad to hear about him too, because I had not heard of him before. So that's my ancestral profile.
Thank you very much, Queen Mother Shabaka. We appreciate this because some of these books, I wasn't familiar with, but I am so happy to find that you are familiar, as well as our guest, Brother Cher Winston. And this gives us a great opportunity for us to move into Brother Winston telling us more about what we need to know as it relates to these European holidays, and what does that mean for the African American people as well as Black people throughout the world. Brother Winston.
Yes. That is very interesting. My inspiration is actually coming from Dr. Barashango in his books, African People, European Holidays, A Mental Genocide. He, like many others, one of my favorites in college. He was a student of Dr. Ben, anthropologist. Mm-hmm. So with his teachings and theology his studies and being a student of Dr. Ben, understanding anthropology and the connection with us, he's been able to produce some very easy reading. When you get those books, very easy reading with lots of source material, filling it with sources from all over the world. So one of the things that he talks about that's important to our subject matter is that holidays are the institutional celebrations and thoughts and ideas of a particular philosophical worldview. So we need to look at whose thoughts and ideas, whose particular worldview are we looking at? That one of the things that he speaks about, and it's something that's actually increased this term in recent years, is the dialectic opposite of white and black peoples, of white people and people of color, particularly our people, African people. And the term is xenophobia, is that it's a difference between xenophobia and xenophilia. And xenophobia, which we hear in the news, is this fear of the other. of other people. And historically, Europeans suffer from that affliction, where they have a fear of the other. And I use other and not necessarily people the way that it is usually defined, because it's not just people that they have fear or dislike. In their development, they have had a fear of everything. The fear of nature, the forest, and animals. The fear of the dead, the fear of God. Compared to xenophilia, which is the love and appreciation for unknown people or places or things. And so as African people, we've always, one of my favorite African proverbs is from ancient Kemet, is I have God within. Wherever I go, I'm no stranger. So with philosophy such as that, you have a love and appreciation. You have a connection with anywhere on the planet, even places you haven't been. You already accept it in your heart and your spirit that wherever I go, wherever I'm at, I will be in tune and be welcome. Again, that's the difference of the institutional celebrations that we're talking about in thoughts and ideas of a xenophobic people who have a fear of the other. When we look at holidays, and I'll start off with Halloween since that's what's going on right now in the European world. And because it's going on in the European world, it's being pushed and promoted amongst other peoples. But like we're doing in this program, we pushing back because we want to have our own value. We want to identify with our own celebration, you know, identify with celebrations that have a purpose and a direction. And for our people in the African Center framework, that is becoming closer to the Creator, God and Goddess-like, God and Goddess. On earth. When we look at holiday, one of the things he talked about, you know, by looking at the fruit of the tree, you'll know what type of tree it is, right? So when we look at these European holidays, we just have to just look at the fruit of what they give, and then we will understand what it is or what the values are. And so in general, Halloween is a patchwork of a lot of different European festivals. But Europeans identify it through their earliest scholars of Greece from their perspective, going back to the Samhain festival of ancient Celtic peoples, Britain civilization, where you had the celebration of the end of the year, where those particular people believe that the year was cut into two portions, you know, dark forces and light forces. And so, which was celebrated yesterday for them. In Europe, and many Europeans celebrated these celebrations in traditional wet forms of where the earth was believed to open up and the deceased ghosts would come out and haunt and terrify them. And so they created giant bonfires and disguised themselves. So the ancestors, these dead people, would not play tricks and haunt them. You know, they have an issue with hauntings going on. Again, the fear of the other compared to us as African people who, as we began, we gave reverence and respect, for instance, to our great Baba, Dr. Baba Shango, for his contribution to opening up our minds. So we're welcoming him here in this conversation, because for this time period that we're in, he was one of the leaders in focusing with holidays, or in, I like to say, helidays, with those celebrations that don't do us good. He focused on getting us the understanding of those things so we could be woken up. So we asked for the ancestors to be here. I think of it the same way, you know, in the spirit of our ancestors, African-centered, is a being in the womb, that you in the fluid of our great mother, of our mother, surrounded at all times. That's how African society perpetuates our values, is that the ancestors are here on the phone, on this conversation, this program, filling the space all around us. It's for us to tap into that. But for Europeans, they feared their ancestors. They feared the dead. So they disguised themselves to hide from them. And because of the nature of that region of being afraid, one of the situations during these festivals were to play tricks on people. So while people were concerned about demons getting them, it would be people pretending to be a demon and play tricks and making people believe that it's a demon when it's them playing a trick. And so you had this repeated type of thing going on in the ancient Celtic society. And it wasn't until their overthrow by the Greeks and later by the Romans, who brought in the Christianity portion of their worldview, that their worldview was, is to take over people's thinking by hijacking their tradition and making it into their own, until people then practice their own tradition. And we see that today, because our society is dominated by a Roman philosophy and value system. So we are celebrating Hallow Eve, again, the celebration of calling the ancestors. Now, one of the things I do want to mention, because as you look up these things, if you look online, that's one of the challenges with what's been going on with COVID. It's hard to get into a library now and get a hold of some scrolls, some books. It's hard to visit locations and get access to archives, because people are shut down. And so you getting your information limited, streams through the internet, which is controlled by just a handful of people that don't want people to wake up. They want people to be, asleep. And so, it's been very challenging, but we have to go back and recognize also that all people originated out of Africa. And I'm sure we've talked about this on this program, and that we are a people that have been civilized. And I like to say it's debated before at least a million years, when Homo sapiens sapien, modern man, you know, Europeans and other scientists have identified modern man, who we represent existence. And the thing that's never really focused on, that I like to stress, is that even though everybody came from Africa, and then there were periods about 200,000 years ago where people started to migrate out of Africa to other parts of the world where there were no people. We're talking about before it was people in other parts of the planet. They always forget the fact that not everybody left Africa. And if we think about it, when I think about this form of being allowed to speak amongst elders, is that you know, as elders, and we that are not yet elders yet can realize the importance of living in the same place for a long time. That when you move around, you lose stuff. You don't quite get it all together when you're nomadic. But when you have a stable foundation, a stable home, you get to build archives. You get to pull out those old photos. You get to pull up equipment and things necessary to make one's life easier. You know, your home is your temple, your society, your community. And so the fact that that's always left out of this, we talk about how long we've been on the planet, but the fact that we stayed in that area of Africa and was able to develop a high culture is something that is never really talked about. And then people left, and then we left in different ways, and people came back, our people. And some people left and never came back and formed what we now recognize as different ethnic groups. So I bring that up because we've had our people go back into Europe after going to Europe and becoming a different type of person. We've had African people during the time of the Celtic people of these traditions go back and be living in Europe. And when there was a shift in something going on in Europe, there's a missing link of how they connected to us. We have a situation where it was starting to be an attack on the ancestors, attack on African people, attack on blackness, and black became to be bad, and anything associated with African people and blackness was demonized or made to be evil. And so in the Celtic traditions of the New Year, where they had these giant bonfires, those people were nomadic people who had got training and technology, again, from African people. And you see their behavior shift to where they were known, and this is, we're talking about Halloween now, let me deal with Halloween a little more on what are some of the symbolisms when we look at the fruit of some of the characters in Halloween, like the vampire. That vampire comes from that society because they were known to attack foes butt naked, just wearing capes made out of human hair, because they were known for scalping their victims in war. And when they come upon them, they will bite them in the neck and suck their blood. So the whole concept of vampirism comes from that period. Other symbols of Halloween, because we still deal with this fruit. You have witches. And in general, the concept of witches are a form of gender oppression amongst European men. They have a hatred for the mother, for their origin. Again, that culture has something going on with it where it has that hate for where it comes from. And let me backtrack for a moment, even with the Greek that took over the Celtics, when they started developing their history and culture and stories of their gods, which many of us been taught in school about Zeus and Hades is supposed to be the brother Zeus that governs hell, that these gods were gods that mistreated the mortals. These were gods that Zeus and Hades killed their own father, Cronos, who was devouring their siblings, because Cronos was afraid that his children would take over. Wow. That's like the basic cycle of life. Your children are supposed to take over, but they have a fear. So their origin story in creation is around fear, around madness and death, eating one's own children, literally. You can go online, it's a famous Michelangelo painting of a grotesque of Kronos, you know, chomping down on one of his children. And it lays limp in his hands while he's eating, devouring it. But you had Zeus, you know, which was known for attacking and raping mortal women. His famous sculptures and pictures where he disguises himself. It goes back in Halloween, a disguising oneself as a geese and rapes a woman. You know, this is the culture that, and the ideals around the foundation of Halloween. As I said, it's a mix and match because now you have the Greeks that took over the holiday. And then after that, when we look at Europeans that said their ancient society is Greece, and then their next society is what? Rome, which, again, I said, we're basing ourselves off of the Roman society. Where do they say they come from? They say they come from a she-wolf. That they, Romulus and Remus, the first two peopling of their society, were raised by a female wolf, not a human being, a wolf. And so you have this hatred towards women going on throughout the European history and culture. So witches are come from a tradition of a hatred towards women, and particularly because women have always been seen as Mama Nature, as the ones closest to the earth, closest to life, to nature. And so women have always been the key to giving man an understanding of how to heal oneself and to be healthy, what we call kitchen chemistry, taking herbs and plants and putting it together to heal. And white men had an issue with that, of women in general, but particularly in their community, white women having that knowledge. And so they would demonize them and make them to be ugly and wicked and persecute them, torture them, and kill them. The symbols that they would associate, the black cat with the witch, that symbol comes from our ancestors of Heteru. Again, Heteru is considered, Het is a Kemetic word meaning house, and Heru is the word representing the Son of God, or the origins of, and this is where one of the things I really love and do in my presentations and career and starting to center around our great heroes and sheroes, it's the where the word hero come from is Heru. And so you have the black cat associated with Heteru, along with the whole notion of witchery of Heteru is the one that deals with having those plants and crops that you can come and heal oneself, and protection with the energy of Bisset, which is the lioness goddess, and her symbol was being a black cat. A symbol of the broom was also associated with Heteru, of the sweeping away or removing things that was undesirable out of your way. We see that tradition in Africa with our obas or our kings. In ancient times with the crook and the flare. The flare is a broom. It's the swatting away of unwanted things, evil, negativity. And so the witch rides the broom and has the black cat, which they make all of those things negative, which really represent us. Now, I don't want us to get confused with because sometimes we, and with this social media and Facebook and a lot of things, we get on talking about stuff and we go off and say, well, if everybody is from Africa, then, you know, we all brothers and sisters are absolutely. But it is something that happened that is different. And just because these symbols come from us originally, we're not celebrating them in their original fashion. is the same way that a lot of us copied the hairstyle of Elvis Presley, even though Elvis Presley copied the style from a black person. And we copy stuff from Europeans not knowing they copied it from us. And then we find out it's a copy, then we say, oh, yeah, that's cool because that came from us. And I'm saying that we need to go beyond that, and we need to go directly to our celebration. So you have witches with brooms and apples, vampires. What else? Some gargoyles is another symbol of Halloween. Gargoyles, again, something that comes from us. Gargoyles are just sculptures, particularly heads of animals, decorative sculptures of, in particular of animals that are meant to move water off a rooftop. So they were first created by African ancestors in Kemet on temples, mainly as lions. Europeans learning and getting information from us and taking and co-opting us, they take those symbols, and now you start seeing grotesque figures on buildings to scare and to provoke, to continue to provoke fear by having these creatures lurk over great buildings and important buildings, like, for instance, I'm thinking offhand, we have gargoyle type of figures on the federal building here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which if you look at it, have those figures have different meanings, again, known to the initiated within those societies or what have you. So gargoyles are another type of character, fruit that we see coming out of Halloween. Ghosts. Again, as I spoke earlier, you know, African people, we didn't look at death as the end. Death was just part of a cycle of life. As I said, Europeans looked at children taking over as a fear, a mortal fear, where they want to kill their own children, or stepping in their shoes. But in Africa, we looked at it as a cycle of life, that when you die, you just went to another form of existence to come back again, to help the living. That when you have that type of value system, again, your perspective on the world changes, because you don't fear death. You recognize death as the natural process. That's why we had so great rituals around burial, that we're known on the planet for having the largest burial temples, mainly the great pyramids in Kemet, which they call Egypt, which symbolize being born again, the giant symbols of our great mothers, of a mother's womb.
And Brother Winston, I'm going to need to get moved to a sponsor announcement and our top of the hour break. Boy, you have really been giving us a lot to think about, and more than just costumes. And I am so happy that you're here with us. But our sponsor is EDOC Advice, which is a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to your health or medical concerns. Are you wanting more options than you feel you're getting? We offer a program called Lifesavers. Let us help you problem solve. Go to our website and ask your question. Our experienced professionals will help you obtain the help you need that makes sense to you. So that's www.edocadvice.com. We do not replace your health professional or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the best information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you. Before we go to the top of the hour, I see Brother Kwazi. Brother Kwazi, thank you for being here. You have some thoughts you want to share with Brother Winston?
I just love what he's saying, just enlightening us with that information. And so I'm just going to continue to listen, and I'm sure I'm going to chime in a little later. But thank you.
Thank you. Brother Winston, you reminded me of something that I learned as it relates to research. And I'm so happy to hear you mention that and to share that with our listeners, that the internet is a fabulous way of getting information, but it is not detailed enough, and it is paraphrasing or someone else telling the story. And so when you speak about being able to go actually to the library for you to look up the references yourself and to see if you come to the same conclusion, which you may not come to the same conclusion when you read about many subjects that are contained within the internet. So a real scholar does their research. And when people tell me they research by going to the internet, I cringe a little bit because I recognize that that's not really really research, but you are getting some information that does help to take you along a certain path. So you are really presenting some thoughts to us that are pretty compelling for us to think about as people approach us about what costume you're going to wear. And it seems as though there's a great need to look forward to this opportunity to be somebody else. And it's just very fascinating as I observe that. But I think certainly as you are going through this type of history for us, is just fabulous. And I'm sure our listeners will gain something from this as well. When we come back from the top of the hour break, I would like for you to share with us more information about our ancestral profile, the book that was written, African People and European Holidays, and a mental genocide. And that element of his book, I'd like to see us explore a little bit further because I think it will be some valuable information for our listeners. But you are really, really giving us a lot to think about as we are going into this holiday season. And so we're going to come back to you after the top of the hour and talk more about these European holidays, what significance it has for us as a people, and how may we use these times as an opportunity to reflect and to nurture and nourish our bodies and our spirits toward more positive ways of thinking. So we're going to come back to you momentarily. Thank you.
Shake.
Okay. Got your shea butter?
Check.
All right. How about your dashiki?
You know it, bro.
And your Hotep manual. Did you bring that?
You know what, King?
Oh, man.
It's fine, so what you gonna do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots. This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spinning with my family, chill with the crew. chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture on our chat groups. On December 26th, goodbye Saint Nick. I light a black candle, look, ooh, it's lit. First day of Kwanzaa, Umoja means unity. Ain't messing with my clique, melanated, check the drip.
Self-determination is the mantra. Constant elevation like the Haitians when they conquered their colonizers. Yeah. Like a real life Wakanda, true believers. Day two, that's Kuji Chahulia.
Ujima, day three, responsibility. Let's put in that work together, bite the block, clean the streets. Collectively connected like the constellations. Plant a seed, watch it grow, reap what
spend
you sow.
Spend black dollars on black business. Your black descendants, they hustle for your black children. A black trillion, that's how much black spending. Ujima, economics is how blacks will win, Lord willing.
On the fifth day of Kwanzaa with my family. Nia means purpose, build our legacy. Rest in peace, Rebecca Jones, matriarchy. Continue to work, Fannie Lou Hamer. Pass to me.
Hey, Kuwumba, yeah, you know what that means. Creativity, and you know what that brings. Full pockets, yeah, you know I like greens. I get paid every time I write things in my inner life beams.
Day seven, all the candles lit on a Kanara. Imani means faith in a better tomorrow. Joy over sorrow, equity over equal. The kids are our future leaders. We believe in all our people.
Will black women shape the human race? Meet your maker. Queen Mother, we appreciate. You are sacred. You are Harriet. You are Ella Baker. You are a maker. You are a manifester. A creator.
This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spend with my family. Chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts. You don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture. Our African roots. This Kwanzaa, what you gon' do? Spend with my family. Chill with the crew. We gon' share gifts. You don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture. Our African roots.
You are listening to the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, where your host is Dr. Janine James, Brother Kwojo Robinson, Brother Kwasi Kraft, and Sister D.D. Cotney. The program is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank, and it airs on the Time for an Awakening radio platform. Email them at SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And I repeat, SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. All of their programs are archived. Just go to the website, www.timeforanawakening.com, use the search portal, and put in the keyword, elders.
Welcome. We are here today, the Sankofa Council of Milwaukee, as we welcome our guest lecturer, Brother Cher Winston of Milwaukee, who has provided some really informative information about the European holidays, particularly as we are entering this holiday season, and that includes Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Kwanzaa that we have been looking forward to and planning all year. And I'd like to ask, before we move on, our Queen Mother Shabaka, can you just give us a little information about what it is we're getting ready for as we get into the preparing for Kwanzaa?
Are you talking about the elders?
Yes. What is it that we're planning as we get ready for Kwanzaa and being able to share that with our listeners so that they can begin the process of preparing for Kwanzaa.
Okay, yes, we are planning and visualizing. We've been visualizing a big Kwanzaa celebration. However, we are still in a pandemic, so we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we definitely will be observing the holiday for 7 days. Kwanzaa is our own holiday, and that does exactly what Brother Shiar is talking about. It celebrates our worldview and our values as a people. It's very uplifting to our people, and it helps us to develop our cultural identity. One of the things we've been doing in preparation is practicing Kuti Chagaliya by learning our own African language. So we have a group that has been studying Kiswahili, which is the language that was used in the development of the holiday by Dr. Maulana Karenga. And our goal was to be able to do the ceremony in the Swahili language. We'll do as much as we can. But we will be celebrating the 7 days, one of the seven principles of Nguzo Saba each day, and sharing that with as many people that will listen to us and celebrate with us.
Thank you, Queen Mother Shabaka. And we plan as well with each of our broadcasts going up to Kwanzaa to keep people reminded and to begin their preparation so that Kwanzaa can really be a part of their family and community celebration for this year. We probably need it more at this time than we ever have because we are in the pandemic. And I think that as we believe that there's great strength and healing in this experience, and so we want to be able to add to that. And we feel that the celebration of Kwanzaa is most appropriate, particularly at this time, as we get ready for the days of Kwanzaa and the various associated activities. And Sister Akti, do you have some announcements for us? You wanted to tell us something about our mics and and signing on with a question. Perhaps Sister Akti is muted at this time, but we will come back to her. She did want us to remind us that our mics are very sensitive. And,
thank you, Dr. James. I apologize. My phone was muted. I was talking. I did want to announce that our email address is SankofaCouncilMKE@gmail.com. And when you were speaking of the phones, we're asking that our everyone would mute your phone if you're not speaking, because the speakers are very sensitive, so that everyone can hear what we're talking about. This is a wonderful discussion that we're having right now. I feel like I am a sports car sitting at a stoplight, revved to continue with the conversation that's going on right now with the information that we're getting. So please mute your phones If you have any questions, be prepared to have those or comments. And if you, again, if you would like to submit your question or have any questions, send us an email at Sankofa Council, MKE, all together, at gmail.com. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Octi. And before we move on to Brother Winston, I would like to remind us about our COVID-19 casualties, that we are learning every day about another family member or friend who has been stricken by COVID-19 and has lost their lives. Our sponsor, EDOC Advice, has asked that we recognize the passing of our COVID-19 casualties during our broadcast. We are asking that you honor those families as they attempt to move on despite the hole created by the passing of their loved ones. Remember that COVID-19 is real, and we must do all we must to prevent becoming infected. Please call in the name, city and state of their passing and date of transition. And you may also email us at sankofacouncilmke@gmail.com. We don't have any new names. I hope that's a good sign that we're seeing fewer casualties. But if there's someone who comes to your mind, please share it with us, and we will announce their names on a future broadcast. Thank you so much for that opportunity. Coming back to our wonderful guest, Brother Cher Winston of Milwaukee, who has been presenting to us some just outstanding information for us as we are entering this holiday season. We've been talking about Halloween and witches and vampires, but that there is a broader history to that that is important for us to understand. So, Brother Winston, tell us more. We're real hungry for this information.
I love the analogy of a sports car at a stoplight. In the spirit also of that we're dealing with this pandemic, I do want to say that, again, this is inspiring to me, this hearing. You talk about Kwanzaa. I'm a child of Kwanzaa. My parents celebrated it. When I was a child, that was the only celebration that we celebrated during that time period of in December. And I share that with my own children. And that makes me think about the importance, again, of empowering our bodies. I felt like I got the engine that we're talking about is the internal, the spirit of the body heating up, and you got a little perspiration going on, which we should have. You know, that's removing, expelling viral material. That's how our body removes harmful things from our body. Ritual is so important. As soon as you get excited, you feeling good about something, you warm up and get a little perspiration, that is your body saying, hey, we don't know what we're about to do, but get rid of all the junk. Let's get it on. So let's get it on, because holidays is something that produce emotional and cultural bonds, you know. And so we've been bonded to these European holidays because for some of us, that's the main tradition that we've been cascaded in, being brought up in, is these European holidays. And so, again, we have to get back to our original, not just looking at the copy and admiring the copy, because that is important to see ourselves in these things all over the place and redefine them, but we need to get back to the source. And one of the things about Kwanzaa, jumping right to Kwanzaa for a moment, is that Milana Peranga's book on Kwanzaa is excellent for anybody that's a lover of Kwanzaa. And I just, even though I grew up all my life last year, that was one of the things that really made me realize how you always learn and grow. And again, you can't find this information on the internet. You got to go get his book. And I'm only saying that because I really be looking for this type of information because I can move it around easier manipulating the computer, but I realize the internet doesn't have it. His book really breaks down the cultural traditions in which Kwanzaa is based off of. It's a misnomer that it's a black Christmas. That he looked at the time period and seen that we needed something to reflect our cultural values. So him and other scholars looked at African traditions and looked at the similarities of traditions throughout Africa, north, east, south, and west. And the book documents the different tribes and communities he identified and why did the scan of Africa, why they did the scan of Africa, and then how those traditions manifest in the principles of Kwanzaa. I think it's so important that we understand that that is not just a black Christmas, that it is a celebration that he and others helped create to get us to focus back on our traditions. And also, we got to really recognize that all holidays are made by man. So sometimes we hear what Malala Karanga, you know, he a man, and Christmas, somehow Christmas and other holidays seem like they're not made by people. They made by people, all holidays. One of the main celebrations tonight is the rising of the sun and the departure of the sun in the day. That's the creator's work, a ritualization every day. And so we need to have those rituals. And we need to create rituals that's based and steeped into the identity of our people reflecting our life experiences. That's what Kwanzaa was created to do, to promote our positive worldview and how we see ourselves or should see ourselves, recognizing that we are in a state of mental imbalance living here. And so we have to get back to those type of things. And so before the break, I was speaking about some of those symbols of Halloween and got to some of the other holidays. But when I just think about it again, that's what's going on tonight, people doing Halloween parties. And as I said, overseas in many European locations, they're celebrating. One of the resources, again, cut down by COVID, is that because of the large German immigration, the German population, because of the large migration of Europeans here to Milwaukee, almost 80 years before Germany became Germany. They came from that landmass, but it wasn't even Germany when they came here. They have had, before COVID, one of the longest running cultural festivals called the Holiday Folk Fair. And at this folk fair, they have all these different European communities. I mean, every little spot on the European map, you can imagine some you didn't even know existed names. You're like, what's that? And so in addition to getting the books, you also need to seek out expertise wherever it may be. So if you're not just speaking from just what I read, because we have a lot of people who read something and can memorize. I try to improve my memory, but some people got better memories than me. But what I realize is part of these holidays and what we have to get back to, we have to embody these things in our spirit to change our behavior, to change the value that we put on things in our life. And so seeking out experts as well, wherever they may be, to give you a greater understanding of how to move around in this world is also important. I know some people think I beat up on white folks a lot, but actually when I get in these archives, I can't be like, you white devil, you know, and not that that is going to be productive anyway. You really have to be able to tune into that dynamic of what that librarian is into. That's the best Google search you can have, is a skilled librarian. So I'm saying to y'all too, with this, as we get through this, we need to get back to that peopling, that communication, that connection to uplift our spirits and other people. And so looking at some of these other
symbols of Halloween that's not related to us is like some of these games, like Pin the Tail on the Donkey, which I'm not sure if it's played too much now, but as I look and did a little research, I know that people go online to look for games. And, you know, that game is coming from, again, that Celtic tradition of when the earth opened up and the demons are coming out. In the tradition, they're praying, since the demon is coming out, they being down with whoever the leader is in their philosophical view. They don't stand on justice no matter what. The way our ancestors in the Book of Ra, which Ra is the name that our ancestors called the sun, scrolls that talk about how the sun fights the darkness, the dark and evil forces every night. And I mention it because it's one of my favorite stories of empowerment, that our ancestors had stories that were even the creator had struggles. So that means I know I'm going to have struggle in life, because sometimes we get down on ourselves that we always got to struggle. This is a struggle. We call it black struggle, you know, or what have you. And that we have to move ourselves outside of connecting to weakness. And our ancestors have given us wonderful stories and culture traditions of the sun battling the dark forces and being successful because of wearing certain colors to produce certain frequencies, lighting certain incense, having certain oils on, developing certain plants and potions to eat and drink, to join forces with other spiritual powers to assist the sun to what? Rise every rising in the morning. So we need to get back to that empowering, you know, when I speak of these holidays, to that. And so in the European tradition, they was going down with whoever is coming out the ground in their view, and that was the devil. So as a appeasement to the devil, to show your commitment to the devil, the symbol of the devil is, in their tradition, a jackass or a goat. To show your devotion, you was, and this comes from Baba Shango, you know, to kiss that donkey, to lick, kiss that donkey right in its bond. You know, these are the type of traditions. It's not our traditions. We don't do things where we're out of the harmony of male-female duality principles, where we're attacking and animals or what have you. Later on, as I said, when the Greeks took over these Celtic traditions, and the Romans later on, they had a tradition of kissing the tail of a horse. And so the donkey kissing of the ass became the pin in the tail on the donkey. And so we have to recognize when we do these things, what are the games? Now, one of the things that I had created, and again, the thing of this pandemic has created concerns about safety or what have you. I haven't did it these past, since the COVID, but every Black History Month, the last weekend, I would do a Black Hero, Shero costume party. In the beginning, it was a concern because I didn't celebrate Halloween, and children are getting into the greatest character of all of these celebrations would be the perpetuation of characters in popular media and movies, you know, the characterizations in movies, franchises push value systems in us without us even recognizing it, and our children are very susceptible. And so, you know, children and many of us, we like dressing up. So where can we go to dress up? That's part of our tradition, our African dance. We some of the best mask makers, you know, creative. When do we do that as a people in America? You know, when do we create, when we ask to bring up the different spheres to help us guide our lives? So I decided during Black History Month, instead of just having a regular program, that we're going to do a costume party where we dress up and possess the spirit of different heroes and sheroes. And that came to mind because I also think of one of my favorite games during that celebration is honoring Garrett A. Morgan, one of our great black inventors, who invented the traffic light, since our sister brung up being a race car at a stoplight. Before Garrett, white people used to run people over because usually this white people had, wealthy white people had money for vehicles. And so he created order, which that's one of the principles that is within our cultures, to bring order to chaos, no matter where we at. So he brung the traffic light and a game, a children's game that I still play during this time and promote with the children, to help us understand this society, is green light, yellow light, stop. I'm hoping I'm not talking to people that know what I'm talking about, but it's basically a person stands in front and you have the crowd of children or participants, because we have adults that participate with our games as well, because we want to enjoy with our children. So they, it could be memorable for them. And a person stands in front and they face the group. They close their eyes, or you can turn around and spin depending on the version, and they say green light, yellow light, red light, stop. And when they say stop, they open their eyes or they turn around where they're facing the group, and open their eyes. And while the person say green light, the group is supposed to move as swiftly as they can to touch the person that's this expressing green light, yellow light, red light. And so to me, I like that game because it reinforces what values we need to have in this society amongst a people that's attacking us. Is that every time that we created a Bronzeville, a great society, and they found out, guess what happened? They burned it down because we didn't stop or didn't understand how to stop at the right time and then move at a different time. And so that game is about what? Is that you move when the back is turned, when the eyes are closed, to move closer to your goal while, the individual is, not, watching. We also do, instead of Simon Says, we either do, depending on if it's a sister or brother, Garvey Says, to see how well, we follow directions, or, Amy Garvey Says, if it's a sister, because we want to make sure that we perpetuate the dual mother and female principle in our celebration. So I'm looking forward to kicking that back in. My children get excited. One of my God-given talents, in addition with now really seeing and diving into books on history and law and things of that nature, is being an artist and creating things with my hands. And so I enjoy creating costumes of our great ancestors and the edifices that they wore that represented their personalities. So that's something I definitely want us to focus on. But when I mention the movie franchises and some of the costumes, we really do need to look at some of these films that are out, because they are reinforcing the same racist values, but we think everything is cool. A movie that comes to mind, and it may be part of costumes this year, is a new Disney movie called Jungle Cruise with the Rock playing a character that's on a steamboat sailing down the river in South America. I'm looking for the tree of life to get a particular plant to heal. The movie reveals, though, with showing the racist nature within the movie, is how he actually was a conquistador, a Spanish invader, going to steal this plant that could heal different ailments. And it's important to know that at this time of the 1800s, 1800s, the Europeans were building machinery that allowed them to create reserves of foods and resources for their people, where they realize they need to go outside to get more land. They needed more land for more resources. So they start realizing the importance of medicines, because before the 1800s with machinery, they had a very difficult time of going into equatorial Africa, into Africa. They would just be on the island in the 1600s, trading with our brothers and sisters on the continent and other places when they found out about other places through the Moors who were ruling Spain a hundred years before then.
Stop you for just a moment. We have some callers at 414-699. Do you have a question or comment for Brother Shear or this council?
Oh, no, I'm just here in support of Shear. This is the Elamine family. My husband and I are just on the phone in support, and then to get the knowledge that he's given about Holiday.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for your support. And then we have 414-554.
Good evening, family. This is Sister Fua. And
greetings
to you, brother. I was just listening. Right now, I didn't have any questions. I can attest to Brother Shear's, especially for Black History Month, when he has the costume parties. My youngest has participated, and the wealth of knowledge, I appreciate you sharing with us the wealth of knowledge that he has, and as he spoke about his talents and of creating and historical items that he has welded to put together, and I so appreciate him in our community. And so thank you both. And Dr. James, I so appreciate you bringing this discussion this evening.
Thank you. Glad you could join us. And Brother Shear, you have really had some creative ideas that can get us thinking. It sounds like you've got a lot of fun going on at your house. And can you tell us what of our thoughts need to be about the other big holiday that's coming up, and that's Thanksgiving? What do you have to say about that one?
So quickly, Thanksgiving, and I think many of us are aware that the pilgrims that invaded this landmass here and almost died until the indigenous people helped them survive, is that they thank them by murdering them. And this is why I bring up, I'm glad you asked, that the ancestors are really working in the spirit of this conversation, is that that's what actually happened in the movie Jungle Cruise, is that The Rock, the main character, hero, when he went with he's part of the Spanish group to go search for this flower, and they die in the jungle from illness, and the indigenous people heal them and bring them back to life. And after they get healed, they show a scene of them eating and drinking and being merry with the community. The leader of the military band is lookout, demands that the chief gives up the flower for healing. And the chief, of course, is like, no, this is our people's symbol, you know, and then they kill all the villagers. And this is a Disney movie that's dropping on our children, that we don't understand the history, but we were on The Rock and all of this stuff, and not seeing this is what's going on. The symbolism and the symbolism to the real history of what Europeans did as they came across people. But in the movie, the chief, before he died, he put a curse on them. And so I'm saying that we need to start to tap into the true magic in of our ancestors, which is basically magic is defined not as hocus pocus and pulling rabbits out your hat. It's calling upon the supreme being to intervene into nature to do something or to not do something. And so during Thanksgiving, we have to be reminded, even though it's wonderful to be around our family, that we need to look at removing those icons and symbolisms of Thanksgiving and getting back to the, you know, since we all, everybody else is celebrating this, this is a time for us, the family, and we use that time to reinforce African values and values that represent us, not values that represent the taking of other people's land, the killing of them after. And that's something that's very consistent within the European culture, is that people that help them, that they come and harm them, kill them, slay them, rape them, pillage them. And so that's what Thanksgiving is about. And many of us know this already, but it's still a challenge for us. And again, that's where the importance of this and why it's a genocide or a mental genocide is because we attach ourselves to the wonderful emotions around being around our family, our aunts and uncles, our mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, nieces and nephews, the grand children. You know, we connect that feeling and we connect it to Thanksgiving instead of connecting it to the family. And that's why also institutionalizing something is that not just the, it's institutionalizing the family we need to do, but bringing out names and exercises around the time period. So we're not celebrating that, and we're not doing an alternative to that just to do it. We're saying every time we meet together, we're going to have this ritual. We're going to do these type of things to reinforce our values. And Christmas is really no different. You know, you know, Christmas is another one of those hot pots of different European traditions. Again, that many Europeans still celebrate in their original form. Still celebrate in their original form to this day. As I said, the folk festival, and if they started back in Milwaukee, Wisconsin again, it's a wonderful opportunity to see, you know, them put on their best face. But as I get more history, I get to pull them over to the side and ask them more about some of these rituals and other customs so I can get a greater insight to the tools and symbolisms within their culture. And one of the things I recognize from that festival is that they are proud of their particular culture. They're not waving the American flag when they at this event. You know, they wave the Yugoslavian flag or the Croatian flag. They wave that tradition, the Slavic. You know, they have appreciation in their culture and their traditions, and we have to get back to that because we're constantly under attack and that information is being pulled from us. We have to now go back and seek that, that Sankofa, as this energy of this group manifests. So we see in Christmas some of these same racist behavior, even with something that's been coming more on the map internationally, even though it's a Danish tradition of celebrations like Black Teeth. And that the Danish people celebrate where Santa Claus has a black enslaved African person that gives out gifts, you know, or the celebration that's coming up again around, this is again around where America, quote unquote, celebrates Christmas, the Krampus celebration. You know, where they walk around as these evil, wicked-looking goat creatures because their belief is that Krampus is the shadow of St. Nicholas, which is considered the saint of children to give gifts to children. But in their society, all children are visited by Nicholas and Krampus. And if you... good, you get a president, and if you're not, you get the Krampus to terrify you again. And again, when we look at these things, these are culture traditions that's being perpetuated by media and technology, particularly American media pushing these technologies. And I encourage us to get into our traditions, where for our traditions in the Kemetic tradition, I speak of that the most because that's one of the longest lasting of our great civilizations, is that the shadow of our ancestors, what they said our shadow was the box, you know, symbolized by your, a human head or your head with wings. It says after your death that you can move around. And the counterpart was your ka, your spirit. So if Krampus is the evil character, that the shadow of St. Nicholas is supposed to be Santa Claus, you know, it's showing the true nature of what Santa Claus is. It's showing the true nature that they really do not love their children. What brung that, and I say a general statement like that, and just to promote this particular concept, but it came to mind to me when they heard that, that first big shooting at Columbine. And Michael Moore did his video, and he talked about how the people, children, were getting shot up, and they just stood behind the line, the police line, after the police was clear, it was no more shooting, everybody was, everybody, the shooters were dead, but the children was inside terrified, and he was like, man, if I had children, I'd be going up in there to get my child. And I was like, yeah, it is something about how we are controlled by this system, that even stuff that seems like it should be natural for us to love and care for young people, we don't. Speaking of one of the things, when I talk about archives, something to relate to, again, the fruit, is that, you know, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we consider one of the hubs of trafficking children. And that's one of the dynamics that's going on as a part of the European tradition of trafficking children. And in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, they honor trafficking. You know, even though they claim, and the FBI came here some years ago to talk about money spent, and when they came, it made me think, and I went right to the historical archives and got all the information about trafficking and found out that they were highlighting a famous prostitute called Miss Kitty in Milwaukee. Again, showing where you have the mistreatment of women slash and children, where they still have her edified in the old Milwaukee, in the Milwaukee Public Museum. You can still find articles of them dressing up as Miss Kitty, the most famous prostitute, which she testified the abuse that was going on, but she felt like she didn't have no other choice in that type of environment. And what was unique about Milwaukee is that Milwaukee mayor wanted to compete with Chicago, so they made prostitution illegal in Milwaukee. And so her brothel was right where Cathedral Park is, right outside of City Hall. So the mayor could just go, you know, across the street and visit the prostitute, which the mayor that we have currently here is reportedly making a joke when he visits the remaking of the Milwaukee Public Museum, and he visited old Milwaukee and Miss Kitty's prostitution setup that they have in the museum, that he said, oh, I think I might have left my hat. You know, this is the value system. Everybody talk about how nice a person people are, but how do you value, what type of value you have where you're saying you left your hat at the most popular prostitute's house? Why would you even venerate such a character? And you're supposed to be a wholesome place. These are the things that we have to look at when we deal with these holidays. It's bigger than just the holidays, and I appreciate you bringing me on to talk about the holidays, but it's something that we need to embody the spirit of our ancestors, the spirit of the supreme being of creation, to bring about the enlightenment of ourselves. And how do we heal ourselves? How do we remove those toxins out of our body? Our body does it right away, instantly. That sweat is removing bacteria and viral material. When you can smell yourself, that's because something is in you is not normally in you. And you smelling it. That's how you, through your limbic system. We need to flush them out of our mind. Instantly, our body does that when we get excited. Sweat on our palms, under our arms, in our groin area, in our breast, behind our ears. Instantly, on our forehead. Our body says, get rid of it. And that's what we need to start doing, is get rid of these European holidays and embody the spirit of nature of our body movement. Because it's a lot of movement going on to push all that out, that liquid and those toxins out instantly. We need to get moving like our own body to heal ourselves. Just like our immune system has all of the chemical information to cure all diseases. But the problem is, or the challenge is, if we're not healthy, our body doesn't get the opportunity to communicate with the part of the body that can put together those immune defense systems to remove such things. And so I'm saying that we need to, as we constantly put this pandemic is on our face, I'm saying we're going to have a, need to ritualize what our body does during this being attacked. We need to bring immune system of new religion, and when I say religion, new practices, rituals, because your ritual practice or your recreation is just recreation. When you dress up as a devil or a ghoul or a popular movie franchise figure, that represents a part of who you are. That tells about who you are. No, that's just on Halloween. No, no, no. And we see that, particularly in Wisconsin again, in the late 90s and early 2000s in Madison, where they used to have an open street festival on State Street in Madison. Some of the elders that have been here know about the university system and how young people would be partying out, and these Europeans would burn and loot and pillage. The same way their ancestors did, until they, the governor and mayor was like, hey, we need to either cut this celebration out or curtail it, until they start bringing more resources. It got so bad that the white youth, because it wasn't just the college students, it was a lot of people coming in, tens of thousands. 75,000 people, 100,000 people coming to State Street to celebrate Halloween, where they would tear up, break the windows, attack police, things of that nature, where they were chanting for pepper spray and gas. It was the first time that they had used, the police had used gas since the Vietnam protesters. It's for Halloween. Halloween is the third largest spending holiday, third, second, and third, you know, is becoming more and more a part of the value system. Another reason why I'm stressing that, because it's taking over those other celebrations.
Brother Winston, I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. I think that Sister Octi has a point that she'd like to bring up.
Okay, I was monitoring our email, the Sankofa Council, MKE, and there was a question that was, the caller's requesting, listener's requesting to ask you, is to expand a little bit more on the black cat.
Yes, the black cat is historically, is related to us, our people tradition of the cat being a protector. In ancient Kemet, cats were seen as protectors of women and children. And so there is a characteristic, a manifestation of the supreme being, which we identify as by Set, the soul, the Set soul, that is a protector, that's a fierce protector of women, particularly pregnant women and children. And so that's where the black cat comes from, And there's a reason why the witch is a lucky charm to the witch, because the witch is really not evil. Again, that's something that Europeans and their hatred towards women. Remember, some of us that had training in the Greek classics of Plato's Symposium on Love, is that he expresses that women, the higher aspiration is homosexual love, and that women and children are obsolete except for the appropriation of children. And that's all they thought women was for. And they're upset. Baba Shango talks about this, is that they can't give birth, which, again, when I talk about mainstream movies, that's one of the new movie that came out, sci-fi movie, a revamp of Doom. It's one of the things where that's a whole nother show. But it deals with the fact that they flip it with the queen mothers in the movie of more than 10,000 years are trying to raise the super mama goddess. But they interrupted by one of their sovereign queen mothers' best students having a son. And they claim that the men can only go where the women can't. But really, the women can always go where we can as men. And white men have a problem with that. And we honor that. We honor the fact that we love our mother, that we love that space in the womb. And so the black cat is symbolic throughout ancient kingdoms. Lionesses being fierce and ferocious protector of the cubs and of the young. And so that's the symbolism of the black cat. And again, don't confuse it. Let's not copy they stuff. And, you know, as Bob Shinker would say, don't go to the Halloween party tonight dressed up as Malcolm or Coretta Scott King. So, okay. African center. You know, we need to cut
and,
that.
And along that line, we really shouldn't be participating in any of this, because it's my deduction is that Halloween is all about fear. And if we participate in that, we can take on those characteristics, especially not understanding that that's what we're doing.
Absolutely. And that, again, that goes into the xenophobia of their tradition of fear. It goes into one of the other holidays. One of the worst things about Christmas is parents lying to their children, you know, and those people that I talked to, that when their parents told them that Santa Claus wasn't real, or they found out, they was devastated, you know. And it's not devastated because Santa Claus is not real. That's what the movies project and the news project. You're devastated because why would the person that raised you lie to you for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 years?
Mm.
Why would they, and why would not just your parents, your grandparents, your aunts and uncles, the whole conspiracy of family life, why would they do that? You're putting trauma on your children. And because they're children, children have the ability to bounce back, or appear that they bounce back. But when I talk to people about it, you can see it goes back of how disappointed they are. And we wonder why we have a problem with our children, because you're lying to them. You're telling them things are safe when it's not safe. You're telling them go to school and get education when it's not education. One of, you talked about happiness in my house. One of the challenges I have, that we haven't put together our own school. And I have to teach. It's a contradiction. My children know it, that they ain't teach you nothing in school. So you're going to get it at home with me. As much time as possible as I can give you. I can't lie to you and act like what they teach you is any good at all. It's good information to know how they think. You need to know the Greek classics, because they push them up in stories. You need to know the Broadville type of shows is based upon these things. But at the same time, you need to know about Anansi, which is the grandest of the storytellers. Anansi is a fictitional character out of Ghana that represents the spider, a spider character mainly, but sometimes as a man that promotes the ability to outsmart and triumph over, you know, more powerful opponents through using one's brain. And that's something else that I found within our African tradition, is how our African stories show us how to overcome. That when we get challenges in African stories about from God or from different Netaru or Orisha, they're not meant to punish us and torment us and rape us and kill our family members. We always was able to overcome and become better people. Marry the one of the Orishas, but she gave up her power because you was able to overcome those obstacles. And I mention Anansi because Anansi is popular is because Anansi through the West African traditions of storytelling and to be smart spread through the Caribbean, dealing with our enslavement in the Caribbean and, of course, in America. And one of the ways, and I'm speaking to my elders here and others that may remember the Song of the South, that Disney movie with Remus singing the song, Yippity-doo-dah, Yippity-day. Well, that was a Anansi tale of Peter Rabbit, of how the rabbit represent how do you outwit the dumb bear and fox. How do we outwit these people that have more power presenting at the moment over us, but really don't if we use our minds? And so many people looked at that movie, oh, it's racist as a slave story, which it is. But they fail to see the Africanness in the story.
Getting to the Africanness in it, getting into the Africanness of not of Halloween, but what is Halloween covering up? What is it that we should be doing celebrating at Halloween? During this time.
So during this time, we should be getting ourselves prepared for the fast coming to the new year. You know, Kwanzaa is during the time period in December. But as the seasons change, looking at getting that bountiful harvest, again, Malana Karanga speaks about it in his book and dealing with Kwanzaa and the dynamic that in Africa is really three seasons. There's no winter season. So we got a winter season. We got to figure out what's really going on at this time is how do we harvest and pull those resources, those herbs and roots together that we're going to need during these below zero winter months.
Brother Winston, I tell you, you have given us lots to think of. This has been a wonderful discussion with us, and we thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us today. We thank you for joining us today, and I thank also the Sankofa Council for its support of this program and for sharing their vision for unity following Afrocentric principles and helping us to learn and use those principles in our lives. We look forward to bringing to you more programs that we hope you will enjoy. Visit our sponsor, www.edocadvice.com. Good night. Stay safe, the Sankofa family and all of you. Until next time, your host, our sister, our father, our sister, Queen Mother, Shabaka, and Dr. Janine James.
Thanks.